So now I'd like to introduce our famous pastor. His name is Reed Moore. Middle name is James, so you should read James Moore. That's cool. And so I want to encourage you guys. And guys, let's just keep our hearts in space or in that place. God, what are you doing with me tonight? You know? And I encourage you. David poured out his heart to the Lord. So let's just get serious, be honest, and say, God, what have you called me for? What are you doing? So with that, let's listen to Reed's message, and it's going to be good. Amen.
So I was in Wasilla last week, and I'm like riding around with my little 5-year-old son while my wife gets her hair done, and we're driving out in the woods somewhere, and Jonathan's like, he's 5, and he's like, Dad, are there bears out here? And it was snowing. I'm like, no, I think they're sleeping and, you know, getting ready to go to sleep for the winter. He's like, no, they're not. I was like, oh. He said, they're feasting. Okay. So my son's challenging me to just, like, help my vocabulary along because he's kind of catching up and passing me. It's good. How many of you guys are just excited to be here tonight? Yeah. This is one of my favorite places to be. Just worshiping with you guys is so fantastic every week. I totally was. How many of you guys enjoyed the BMC last week? That was good. See Johnny when he flipped his little thing and his guitar like lights up. I was so jealous, but it was cool. Anyway, but it's good to be back at GM. All right, so we've been working on a series on the armor of God, and we're going to be finishing that tonight. It's always fun to kind of come to an end of a series. You know what I'm saying? Because you're done with something. Tonight we're going to talk about the last part of the armor of God, but I wanted to do a little bit of a recap for us, if I can. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And you guys can amen in some of this stuff because you've heard it before, and you've already just made it part of your life, and you're amazing. Amen. All right, this is Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10, out of the Message. This is what it says. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll be standing on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential for the ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Amen? Amen. All right, so we talked about the belt of truth, and we talked about how you can't just pray it on. You actually have to be a truthful person. Amen? And so the person that you are has to be full of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, how being right with God and walking righteously protects you, it protects your heart, it protects the core of who you are. We talked about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that the world doesn't have peace, and God has given you the message of peace. So you got to get ready. You got to get yourself prepared to go out and to give that word. Amen? Amen. All right. Then Gabriel did a fantastic job talking about the shield of faith. Right? Talking about how the shield protects you and it's out in front of you. And not only does your faith protect you, but in the Roman armies, your shield actually protected people behind you. And so your faith protects you, but it also protects people around you. Amen? That's good stuff right there. We talked about John Byers with us a couple weeks ago, did a fantastic job talking about the helm of salvation. Totally freaked a couple of you guys out that have been in church too long. And he's talking about smoking weed and all these other things that you shouldn't do, but it's okay to talk about in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So tonight, we're talking about the last weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Say that with me. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. God, tonight, we thank you that you have equipped us. You've given us the armor. God, you have created a way for us to walk in this earth and not get destroyed, but to be strong and to stand, Father God. Tonight, I'm asking that you would pour out your word in our hearts, God, that you would reveal yourself to us, you would speak to us clearly, and God, and you would just renew our vision and our passion for the lost around us, God, for the people in our lives and in our world. God, we love you tonight. Make our hearts attentive. We rebuke the pee-pee demon in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, we got a video clip. You ready?
You got a light, buddy?
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Yeah! All right. How many of you guys have seen that movie? Yeah. Yes, I'm so totally not irrelevant. That's awesome. Praise God. That's not a knife, this is. We are people of the Spirit. Amen? I mean, we love the Holy Spirit. We love meeting with the Holy Spirit. We love feeling the Holy Spirit. We love hearing the Holy Spirit. We love touching the Holy Spirit. We love everything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are a spiritual house. Our ministry is a time of connecting with the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. And I love this chapter in Romans chapter 8, because it's about this life that we have in the Spirit. This is what it says. This is the New Living Translation. So now there is therefore no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That's worth an amen. Amen. The law of Moses wasn't able to save us because of the weakness of our own sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies that we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind to death leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Life and peace. We are people of the Spirit. God has broken the power of sin over our lives. We sin and we're forgiven, but sin doesn't have its grip anymore. You know what I'm saying? Now the Spirit has his grip. And when you sin, there's that conviction because you're in his loving hands. And it's awesome because that power that he has over us has now set us free. It's delivered us. So now we're called the people of God, right? And we love our time with the Holy Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. You know, it's like, we are noodle folk. Skidoosh. You guys, come on. You guys, work with me. Come on, work with me. Thank you. Thank you very much. We are noodle folk. I don't know. We are people of the Spirit. I'm still not going to be able to recover from that. We are noodle folk. Anytime anybody says that, just be like, yes, Lord. We are noodle folk. That's good. We are people of the Spirit. We have this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But let me ask you this question. What does that mean to a lost and dying world? We have soup. Oh, yeah. What does it mean to a lost and dying world that you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit? I had this great worship time, and I connected me and the Holy Spirit. and it was awesome. What does that mean to your friend whose parents are getting a divorce and he hates them and he wants to kill them or whatever? What does that mean that you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit? It's got to mean something more than that, right? This Christian life, being a person of the Spirit, it has to go beyond just being a person of the Spirit. You are blessed, but what does that mean to your friends, right? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus rolls up on the scene. And in verse 18, this is what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, so he's saying, the Holy Spirit and I, we're jiggy. We got this thing, right? "Because he has anointed me," and he starts talking about the purpose, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's what Jesus had to say about the purpose of the Holy Spirit in him. And this is important because when we're looking at the armor of God, this is what it says. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So why do you come in here and you commune with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's why. Because you have to learn to know him and to trust him. Because the weapon that he's given you is his weapon. You have to learn to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. So that way, when you're looking to go into battle, you can trust him. Because it's not your sword. It's not your sword. Now think about this. All of the armor that's talked about, it's all defensive armor, isn't it? Now the shield of faith was used somewhat as a weapon, but it didn't have the ability to kill, right? It didn't have the ability to destroy. And so you go to battle, and you got to ask yourself this question. Why do you go to battle? You know, you got your helmet of salvation on, you got your shield of faith, and you're just like, yeah. And you walk out into battle, and you're quenching the fiery darts of the enemy, and you're like just standing there, and you have no way to have victory, do you? You can survive the battle. Oh, yay. That's a great way to go. You know, I go out into battle, and I survive, and that's my goal in life, is to survive the battle. How many of you guys signed up for that plan? No. How many of you guys play a sport? How many of you guys play a sport to win? Right? And that's what we do. We go and we play a sport and we play it to win. Now, I can go and play basketball. I can play for the fun of it. But when I played competitively, when I played baseball, I didn't go play to play. I played to destroy the other team. Yeah. Right? That's why you play. You know, this is so great. I never had a coach that said, "Well, we're just not here to win. We're here to have a good time." I'm like, seriously? Why? The coaches that said that, they're the teams that we beat. And it was great. It was like, you just keep telling them that, and we'll just keep winning, and we'll be happy, and you'll be miserable, and it'll be great. Here's why this matters. The Holy Spirit in your life is the one that wields the weapon. He wields the Word of God. And so God has called us to go to battle. And he's called us to go to battle to win. And the place that he's called us to battle is the gates of hell. All right? When Jesus is talking to Peter, he says, oh, let's go there. This is what God says to Peter. Matthew 16:18. Such a great scripture. Matthew 16:18. It says this, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It means two things. One, it means that we're on the attack. We're at the gates, and we're fixing on doing some damage. Right? But here's the other thing that it means. When we think of gates, a lot of times we have this idea of, like, you know, the Middle Ages, where you had just this big gate, or like a drawbridge. But when Paul, or when Peter was, whoever was writing, Matthew maybe, who was writing this, he had a specific image in his mind, and that was the image of an ancient gate. Now, what an ancient gate was, it was a whole system of commerce and government. When you walked into the gate of the city, it was like walking into downtown Anchorage. The place that decisions were made was in the gate. The place that trading happened, it was in the gate. And so the gate wasn't just the physical gate, it was the entire infrastructure of the city right there. In Proverbs 31, when it's talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, this amazing woman of God that is my wife. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It says that her husband is known in the gates because of her. I want you guys to grab this real quick. First of all, the sword of the Spirit, a sword is a hand-to-hand weapon, right? A sword is for being right there in the battle. It's not like an arrow, right? It's not like a gun. You have to be face-to-face with something in order to strike him down with a sword. So what is this saying? The gates of hell won't prevail against us? Well, what's going on in the gates of hell? What's going on in the commerce of hell? What's going on in the government of the devil? What are his plans? And what are his strategies? Right? If we're going to take over the gates of hell, if we're going to siege the gates of hell, we're not on the outside knocking on the door. We're on the inside destroying the plans of the devil. We're on the inside destroying the commerce of the devil. It's the sword of the Spirit. Who gets you into the gates? It's the Holy Spirit. This is, I want you to grab this. When we say we want to be relevant, that is admitting that we're going to always settle for a second place. If I say that I want a relevant ministry, what I'm saying is I'm going to look at the world around me and I'm going to always choose that it will define me. Right? I'm choosing that the gates of hell will define me. Well, maybe God has put something up inside of me that's going to define the gates. Maybe God's put passions and desires and things inside of you that's going to allow you by way of the Spirit to go into the gates and start changing things. Right? Maybe you're going to change the way video is done in this country. Maybe you're going to be the best engineer this country's ever seen. Maybe you're going to be the best politician this world's ever seen. Maybe you're going to invent things that are going to blow people's mind. Huh? Maybe you're going to design fashion that's the bleeding edge of the whole world. Right? Or do you just want to be relevant? Huh? You want to be a copycat. You want to watch, you know, Playlistism or whatever on MTV, and you want to just copy their junk. Is that really what you want deep down inside? You're a worship leader and you're going to write a song. What, are you going to copy somebody else? Is that what you really want? That's not what I want. Do I want the gates of hell to define me? Or has the Holy Spirit put something up inside of me that's going to take me into the gates of hell and I'm going to start rocking its world? Is that what the church is for or is it not? When the Bible says the gates of hell won't win, do I believe that? Do I? No. Do I believe that it's going to remain and I'm going to shrink back? Do you believe that? I don't believe that. I don't live my Christian life in a way that believes that. And I certainly don't want to ever do that. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So here's what happens. God brings you into intimacy with His Spirit. And in an intimate place with His Spirit, you hear His Word. You hear the call of God on your life. You hear where you're supposed to be going and what you're supposed to be doing. And you get passionate. And you go into the gates of hell. And you have character. And you have faith. And you're there in the gates of hell. And the gates of hell are not prevailing against you. But you're not prevailing against the gates of hell. But I'm using my gift. Yeah, that's great. I'm on the bleeding edge of the things that God has called me to. Well, oh yeah, that's great. That's awesome. But But what happens now? Do you have a weapon in your hand? You have a shield, you have a helmet, you have a breastplate, you have truth around your waist. And now you're known in the gates. What are you going to do about it? You guys getting this? What are you going to do about it? As a ministry, now is it just what we want to define culture and be on the bleeding edge? Or does God want something else from us? Right? Does it go past destiny? Does our life go past just fulfilling the things and the desires that are inside of us? I think it's a good question. I want to show you guys a sword. This is awesome. Check this out. This is a sword that I allow my kids to play with. It's what's your name?
Cameron.
Can I hit you, Cameron?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you. My son Nathan beats on my son Jonathan with this sword. My son Jonathan cries, and then he gets another sword and beats on Nathan, and they both cry, but they really don't hurt each other. Okay? So here you are. You're the man of God. You're the woman of God. And you have this vision, this profound thing that God has laid before your life. And so you go strolling up in the gates of hell, and you're like, whoa! And you got your foam sword in your hand, and you're running around, and you think you're threatening. And everybody knows there's something wrong but you. And so you got your sword. You go chop on the she-devils. You go chop on the he-devils. And that's kind of all that happens. Okay, and so then you bring out another sword. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Uh-huh. You like that one? This one would actually hurt a little bit, right? And so you roll up in your school and you pull out your little dagger and you're like, ah! Right? And everybody's intimidated until they find out it actually can't kill them. So you got your little plastic sword and you're just packing away. And you're really happy about yourself. You're really proud of your effort. Right? And then you read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. And it says, I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up the bad habit of not listening. Thank you. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourself, yet there I find that you have need to sit back and go to the basics of God again, starting from square one, baby's milk. Okay? When you should have been eating solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave this preschool finger painting exercise on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. Christ, the basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning towards trust in God. Not talking about baptism instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us, we will stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. Man, when I look in this room, I see the future of our nation. I see the future of the people that are called to the gates of hell that will prevail. But I want to challenge you tonight. So many of you guys have phenomenal character. Blow my mind. You're just incredible. And I love you so much. And you walk in truth and you desire the things of God and you want to fulfill the destiny in your life. But here's the question that only you can answer. Do you have a bottle in your mouth, or are you ready to eat steak? Are you storming the gates of hell with one of these? Or Alex has got something else for me here. Oh, a real toy.
you, sir. Who wants to let me hit him with this? That's a real sword. You know, if you got in real close with somebody and you had your armor on, you can mess somebody up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you stroll up in the gates of hell and you have a passion to change your world. And now the same spirit that took you there can keep you there and can drive out the enemy from your land. Right? That's what he wants from you and me. Now listen, the principles that guide your life, the amazing social skills that you have, your education, all of those things, they will bring you into the gate, but they won't win the battle for you. You can't get rid of the Word of God. You can't replace it with a Christian self-help book. You can't replace it with 7 ways to a better you. Joel Osteen ain't your mama. All right? Now listen. He's got a haircut like my mom, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. Sorry, Mom. You got to know how to wield your sword. Now, there's 2 ways that we can err in our Christian life. There's spirit people that blow all over the place, and they're running all over the gates, and they're just running in circles, and they're just making a whole lot of fuss, and they really don't have the ability to do anything for anybody because they don't know the Word of God. They're intimate with the Lord. They really do know the Spirit. But the Spirit in their life doesn't have any weapon to wield through their life, because they've never taken on the discipline of simply knowing the Word of God. So you have some people, they're just running around. They're like, Jesus, take over the world, for I just love you and you're just great, and I'm going to go to 5,000 worship events this week. And, you know, and they got their little form sword and they're beating on demons. And demons can't do anything because they have character, you know, or something like that. You know, and they're just playing their little game, okay? And then you have the other group of people, and they're the Word people. And the Word people are running around with a big old sword, and they're just lopping heads off. Man, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, you're a devil, it just doesn't matter. They're just like, the Word of God. And they've taken the sword of the Spirit, and they've made it their own personal sword. And so they're running around with the Word of God, and they're bashing every ministry, and this guy's a devil, and that, this, and the Word of God says this, and blah, blah, blah. And they're just lopping off other Christians' heads, left and right, right? Oh, and man, but they got sword, and they're just feeling good about themselves, right? They go up in somewhere, and there's a bunch of people serving the devil, and they start chopping their heads off. Last time I checked, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, right? I mean, they win the debate. You know, they know how to make somebody look like an idiot. And they're just running around. The Spirit's like, where'd my sword go? And they're just running around. You see what I'm saying? Now listen, I'd rather have a bunch of people with foam swords that aren't going to hurt anybody, just loving Jesus, than a bunch of people running around with the Word of God lopping people's heads off. Okay? But I don't know that we have to settle for that as a ministry. We don't have to be people of the Spirit who are ignorant of the Word of God. And we certainly don't have to be people that are full of the Word of God and ignorant of the leading and the guiding of the precious Holy Spirit. So you're armed, and you have passion, and you're going to take your gifts, and you're going to work hard at developing yourself, because the Spirit of God is driving you into the gates of the city. You're going to be the best plumber this world's ever seen. You're going to be the best lawyer this world's ever seen. You're going to be the most incredible healer the world's ever seen. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Whatever that thing is in you that God's calling you to the gates for. But you're not going to do much of anything by the end of your life if you haven't learned the discipline of the Word of God. Hear me tonight. Your iPod will not replace the Word of God. 1,000,000 messages by Judah Smith, it won't replace the Word of God in your life. a million books on every subject from every great place that's experiencing revival will not replace the Word of God in your life. You got to open up your own Bible, and you got to get in it for yourself. And it will empower you. Seriously. Every little kid that's a boy wants to actually know how to use one of these for real. That's why we have plastic swords, and that's why we have foam swords, because deep, deep down inside of us, we all want to be a pirate or a ninja. Right? I mean, it's just, you know, you just can't get over it, right? But listen, you are not kids. You're men and women of God. You don't have to drink milk. You don't have to play with a foam sword. You need one of these. And you need to be able to take it into your world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. You guys want to stand up? I like standing when we pray. I don't know if it does any good, but maybe God will just bless it anyway. God, tonight, I thank you for your word. God, your word is truth. In Psalm 119, David talks about your word and how it cleanses a young man from evil. God, how it empowers a young man or a young woman. God, and that by giving ourselves to your word, we see marvelous and wonderful things. Father, tonight, I want you to forgive us as a generation that doesn't give ourselves to discipline and doesn't give ourselves to your word. And God, as a ministry, we don't want to be ineffective. We want to go to our workplaces. We want to go to our schools. We want to go into our friends' life. And by the way of your spirit, we want to be able to take our sword and do surgery if we have to. Gentle and specific. Or we want to storm the gates of hell and do serious damage in the city to the enemy, God. God, I want this 150 young people that's here with me right now, God, that we would understand the fact that we're an army. And this is a phenomenal army, full of your spirit, full of your word, God. God, let us see the potential for destroying the works of the enemy in our city. God, let us see the potential that lies inside of us, God. Lord, we want to do your will. We want to have your way in this city, God. God, your kingdom is advancing, and it's advancing forcefully. God, and we want to be people that don't just play with our little swords, but we have real swords, and we can really do damage to the devil. God, this week, I'm asking that you would draw us away to your word, God, that your spirit would lead us in just revelation of your word. God, your word would change our hearts. It would change our minds. It would change our lives, God. We love you tonight, God. Use us powerfully in this city, God. Don't let us settle. Just raise your hands. Say this with me. Jesus, don't let me settle for a little vision. Jesus, don't let me settle for a plastic sword. I'm yours. I've been called with a purpose. I've been called with a destiny. Use me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys tonight. I want you to go home. I want you to get in your Bible. I want you to journal it. A great place to start for your MyPod this week, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is fantastic. Read it, journal on it, talk about it in your MyPod. Amen? Have a good night. We love you.